We are in Parashat Shlach Lecha. We're going to be learning from the book Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, from the teachings of Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. And the main theme of the parasha, of course, is the spies. And there's many, many things to learn from it. But we're going to talk about today about the fact that, first of all, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies, even though Hashem didn't ask him to do so. And Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't need the spies, really. He just wanted to, how to say in a nice way, to shut everybody up. Everybody had what to say. So he says, okay, here, I'll send your spies that you'll see. And nevertheless, there are many, many other reasons why. And the Torah chooses to tell me a certain story. Then there's, needless to say, many, many hidden meaning behind that. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to send the spies, then he said, listen, I need you to get for me three details. One is if the land is fertile and how easy it will be to grow crops and vegetables and fruit on the land. The second thing is if the cities that we have to conquer are they walled. Now we're going to have to bring a lot of power to break down these walls, or we're just going to walk in. And the third is how brave the men are. Are we going to have to stand a big fight now? Do we need to get the best of our best? Or is this a bunch of cowards and the second we're going to come in, they're just going to run away? So, and needless to say, when they came back, they said, number one is good, the land is good. Here, look, we brought beautiful fruit. But number two and number three is very bad. Number two, the cities are walled with very, very big walls, and the men are giants, and we're not going to be able to fight them. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave them the instructions, he told them, you should go up on the mountain and look down at the land. How does it look? The verse says, Alu zeba Negev, go up in the Negev. Negev is the desert. They had a tragedy where they came in from. After all, they're spies. So they're not just landing in the airport and with sunglasses and flip-flops. They came into the land like spies. So Moshe Rabbeinu told them, go up from the Negev, then go up on the mountain, ve'alitem et ahar, ureitem et haaretz mahi, and look at the land, what is it? Now the rule is, כאשר רוצים להעלות הניצוץ, when I want to elevate a spark, we're going to look at more of a deeper meaning to this concept. We know the Torah is interpreted in the four layers. The pshat, this literal level, the remez, the drash, and the sod, the hint, the explanation, and the secret. So here he says, we want to learn a little bit about the secret of what this verse is telling us. Now everything that we do in this world is in order to elevate a godly spark to its source. We know, very briefly, to explain, we know that when Adam HaRishon sinned, he fell down from his level, so to say, that's how it's called, Nafal Mimadregato. With him fell millions and millions of godly sparks into the physical world. It was a shatter, Shvirat HaKelim. And the vessels broke and many, many sparks fell into this world. Some fell into the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. And the majority of them fell into the lowest of all, to the world of Klipot, to the world of the impurity, which is this world. And then we come into the picture and we have to start sifting these sparks out of their source, out of their captivity, and elevating them to the source. The easiest way to give an analogy so we can relate with, imagine a diamond dealer has a bag of diamonds in his pocket worth millions and millions of dollars. He goes on a walk on the beach and suddenly the bag of diamonds falls on the floor, on the ground, and the sand is so soft, all the diamonds are now in the sand. Right away, hold on, nobody move, nobody move. And he very gently starts moving the sand. Now the diamonds are clear, the sand is very white, or I mean it's not really white, but it's like a pale yellow, can't see the diamonds. And you very slow. Now every move you're going to make, it moves the sand. They go in a little bit deeper. So right away they guard the whole place. Now we're very, very cautiously start pulling out one diamond after the other. These godly sparks that we're referring to came down into this world, and they got stuck into the klipa. Klipa is a husk, a negative energy that captivates the spark. Now I have to come here. We are the Jedis. We, the nation of Israel, and we have to start looking for the clip, for the sparks. How do we do that? Hashem says, here, I'll give you a manual. And in the manual, it will say, this you can deal with, this don't touch. These animals you can eat, because when you're going to eat them, if you slaughter it the right way, if you say a blessing, if you pray, etc., etc., you extract the spark out of the animal and you elevate it back to its source. And these animals don't eat. Not because they're not tasty or because I don't like them, because their godly spark has nothing to do with you. It will damage you. Or there's no spark there. Or whatever it is, that don't touch it. And then the Torah comes and tells me, don't touch this, don't touch that. This is pure, this is impure. This is permitted, this is not permitted. If I do what the Torah tells me, I fulfill my job. If I don't do, then I get affected by that. Like there's rules in my house. Don't touch the stovetop. While the fire is burning, it will burn your hand. And don't put your hand into the socket, you'll get electrocuted. And don't do this and don't do that. So our job in this world is to sift through the darkness to find these sparks. It's called Avodat HaBerurim, the work of sifting. And then once I have the spark, then I take it up to its source. And this happens exactly when we go to sleep at night. When I go to sleep at night, we know our soul leaves the body. It's not going to get a massage. It's going to take all the sparks that I elevated that day and it personally delivers it to the place where they belong. So now he comes and he says, now there's a rule. Kaasher rotzim la'alot ha'nitzotzot, when I want to elevate these sparks, az tzarich ledavek etzmo b'midat Hashem, I have to acquire and I have to follow and mimic, so to say, the attribute of Hashem, that is called midat chesed, the attribute of kindness and love. Vezeu banegev. This is explained as with the word negev. That's why he told them alu ze banegev. Why do we connect the word negev to the midat chesed? Because it says that when Avraham Avinu, what did he used to do? Haloch v'nsoa negba. He used to go towards the negev. And we know that Avraham Avinu was midat chesed. Avraham Avinu was all about kindness and charitable acts and good acts. And the south, it hints on the midah of chesed. We learned that from Avraham Avinu. Now, what is the next thing that I need to do in order to elevate the spark? So first we got the first rule. You want to elevate a spark? I have to go in the path of the midah of Hashem of chesed. I can't do it with any other way. Now comes another part that is even harder. Or leshaber ta'avat ha'yetzara mita'avotav. We just learned now a beautiful class with Avraham, Israel Avraham, that we have a ta'avot. We have desires. We have lusts. We have inclinations. Some of them are not so strong. Some of them are very, very strong. Some of them are for things that are permitted, and some of them for things that are completely or not permitted. But nevertheless, I have ta'avot. I have to break this desire from the teavot that the Yetzirah is trying to pull me to. Kasher mevoar b'mokom acher, as it's explained in a different place, he explains the verse, Me'oivai techakmeni mitzvotecha ki leolam hili. Make me smarter than my enemies. How are you going to make me smarter from my enemies? With your mitzvot. Because that's what's going to take me to the world to come. Saying in other words, Lomar, la yetzer hara nikra oyev, the yetzer hara is called my enemy. Ata mefate oti lasot et ha'teava shechai. The enemy, the yetzer hara, is tempting me to fulfill this teava, something that I really want to do. And it, like I told you, it can be something small like a cookie or a cup of coffee. Or it can be something severe, that is actually a severe sin. But all along we're being pulled after our te'avot. B'pnimiyut התאווה הוא שיהיה לו תענוג. What is hidden in the essence, the root of the תאווה? And again, the תאווה is the desire and the lust. And normally and usually will be for something prohibited and something not good. But what is the שורש, the essence of the תאווה? Is that I want to have pleasure. It's all about pleasure. We are creatures that we desire pleasure. And when I see something that will cause me pleasure, then I want it. This is coming from a very deep place that is called Ratzon, my will. And we know that in the Sefirot, the way it works, that we are also, we have 10 Sefirot in our Nefesh. It's called 10 Kochot HaNefesh, the powers of my Nefesh. But above all the 10 Sefirot, there is a crown, a Keter. In the Keter is hidden a power that is called a will. Now the will can be good and it can be bad, and some people are very strong willed and some people are very weak. But nevertheless, when somebody has a will, how they say, when there's a will, there's a way. And this is called Ratzon. Now I need to constantly parallel myself that my Ratzon, my will, is parallel to the will of Hashem. What does Hashem want me to do here? In every situation I have to question right away, what is the will of Hashem? I'm now in a situation, what does Hashem want me to do? Hashem wants me to get upset. Hashem wants me to get angry. Hashem wants me to forgive. Hashem wants me to be quiet. What does Hashem want? Whenever I question myself, what is the will of Hashem? Then I'm paralleling myself with Hashem. Now I also have my own Ratzon. Usually my Ratzon, my will, is not Hashem's will. I want to eat. I want to sleep. I want to procreate. I want to have another cookie. I want to do many things that is not on the agenda of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, why do I constantly get pulled to these desires? Because deep down inside, I want to have pleasure. That's how it is. This is built into our system. Now, if I don't have a pleasure, I'll look for the pleasure. And if I get pleasure from alcohol, I'll go after the alcohol. I'll get pleasure from women, I'll go after the women. I get pleasures from money, then I'll go after money. That's how it works. I told you once the story that I met an individual, and we talked, and we had a nice conversation. And then I told him, in the conversation, what do you do for a living? He told me, I'm a lawyer. So I told him, you enjoy your job? No, I can't stand it. I don't understand. You are a lawyer and you're not happy with your profession. You don't like it. So I can't stand it. So I told him, but so why are you a lawyer? He's like, well, you know, you didn't know how to put it the right way. So I told him, let me understand. You went to law school for 5 years to learn a profession you don't like. And now for 20 years, you're working a profession that you don't like. I don't understand that. Why would you go and spend so much time on that? And he says, well, you know, I make a lot of money. Oh, so say that you like money. Don't tell me that your agenda was to be a man of justice and righteousness. And you say, I like money. So you chose, what is the profession that's going to bring me money? So you're after money. Now, why do you want money? What is so important with money? Ah, with money, I'm very comfortable. I have a nice home. I go on vacations and I drive a nice car. And I was like, okay, fine, I understand. He's like, well, I really like the cars. I like fancy cars. I said, oh, so your desire is the car. How do I get the car? I need money. How do I get the money? I need a profession that makes a lot of money. I told him, why do you like the cars? You like the beauty, the speed, what's exciting you in the car? He's like, well, you know, you have a nice car, you get women. Oh, so you like the women. You don't like the car and the money, you like the women. So how do you get the woman? You have a nice car. How do you get the nice car? You need a lot of money. How do you get the money? You need the profession. I told him, why do you like the women? Wow, what's exciting you in the women? Well, I get my pleasure. Ah, so you want to pleasure yourself. That's what it's all about. You want to derive pleasure. And so how do you pleasure yourself? The women makes you have pleasure. Now how you get the woman, the car, the money, the... So I said, are you willing to suffer all your life in a profession you can't stand, in a job you can't stand, in an office that you don't want to go to, only so Look how many generations that you can pleasure yourself. Ugh, where is that will coming from? From a very negative place. And this is just one example out of many what drives us. I need to backtrack and see what is the drive? What is the ratzon here? The ratzon is to have pleasure. We all want to have pleasure. Don't kid yourself. We all after pleasure. And one person is the car, another person is the money, another person is the woman, another person is the alcohol, another person is whatever it is. We all have this desire to get pleasure. But this is coming from a very negative place. The real ta'anug, the real pleasure that I need to want, excuse me, alo ikar ha'ta'anug hu ba'avodat Hashem. Where do I really get pleasure? Is when I connect myself to Hashem. If I don't connect myself to Hashem, there's a void. There's something missing there. So, and of course I don't get pleasure. And if I don't get pleasure, then I need to fulfill this void somehow. So I would look for all these fake pleasures to fulfill the void. The only problem is it will be very temporary. And then it's empty again. The only way to receive the ultimate pleasure is only when I connect myself to Hashem. As it says, "Hata'anugu ba'avodat Hashem." Mutav la'avod Hashem. Better, worth, serve Hashem. When you serve Hashem, serving Hashem means you pray, you learn Torah, you do mitzvot, you refine yourself, you work on yourself. Then you receive the pleasure, but the real deal, not the fake pleasure. And that's the pleasure that stays. So you know, money comes and goes. And women, they also come and go. And they also grow older, and they don't look the same how they looked when they were 20. And many other things, they come and go. The alcohol is nice, and after 5 hours, it goes. And you're left with a headache and a bill. So everything in this world comes and goes. The only thing that comes and never goes is the real deal, and that's the connection to Hashem. You can't argue with that. How many people, they have millions of dollars, and they're miserable. How many people, they have fame and power and success in many things, and they're miserable. So the ultimate pleasure only comes from your connection to Hashem. Now, there's a separation here one must do. V'achiluk. Etzel avodat Hashem ut'anug l'olam. When you serve Hashem, the pleasure is for eternity. It doesn't get removed. V'ta'anug shelcha u'midvar hefsed. But your pleasure, what I'm relating to as pleasure, is from something that eventually will be lost. That's how it is. Like I said, the woman, the money, the alcohol, whatever it is, eventually will be lost. Eventually, even if you have trillions of dollars, you go to the grave, you're not taking anything with you. So the pleasure, the real pleasure is coming from Hashem, that's eternal. And my pleasure, what I, in my mind, picture pleasure, it will always come to a point that it will evaporate, end, and get lost. That's why the verse says, Me'oivai, save me from my enemy. Who's my enemy? Is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is trying to maneuver the situation that I will get off the path. The verse continues and it says, Techakmeni mitzvotecha. Your mitzvot will make me smarter. Ki leolam, really, because this is going to bring me to a world of eternity. That's why if you want to look for the hint in the verse, I told you the verse, there's the pshat of the verse, there's a little explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, come through the Negev, and then go up on the mountain. We're reading the verse, I understand, there's a military tactic here. Come from the south, from the desert, and then go up on the mountain. This is the pshat. But there's a much more deeper explanation from the military tactic here. Come from the Negev, you want to start approaching, Hashem has to be with chesed. You want to start elevating the sparks, you have to come with chesed. Now he says, I have to go up on the mountain. And this is the hint when it says, V'alitim et ha'ar, ha'yetzer ha'ra nikra har. The yetzer ha'ra is called a mountain. Kema'amar ha'chamenu zal, as our sages say, Mi ale behar Hashem, who's going to climb the mountain of Hashem? Now the yetzer ha'ra, klomar pituye yetzer ha'ra, ekach ha'tanug la'avodat Hashem, u'bazei alein t'lintzot v'deshaber ha'klipa. I need to know how to take the temptation of the Yetzer Hara and to switch it into the Avodat Hashem. I mean, after all, the Yetzer Hara, here we're calling him an enemy, but really the Yetzer Hara is my best friend. He's my personal trainer. Now, usually if you want a personal trainer, he's not going to be so nice to you. He's not going to come and tell you, okay, do a few push-ups and let's go have a cake. The Yetzer, the personal trainer, is going to tell you more, push more. You can take more. The personal trainer will take you to your maximum. He's not going to come and tell you, I think we had enough workout. You've been working out for 3 minutes. Let's take a break. So the Yetzer Hara is my personal trainer. He comes and tells me, no, push more. And it seems to me that he's coming to trick me. But he's keeping me alert. He's keeping me on my toes. If I wouldn't have a Yetzer Hara, where would I be? So nevertheless, I need to take this temptation of the Yetzer Hara. Klomar, mipitoei Yetzer Hara, ikach ta'anug l'avodat Hashem. I have to look at the trickiness. I don't know if you can even say such a word, trickiness, but the Yetzer Hara is tricky. Take that method of the Yetzer Hara and see where he's taking me, and you understand from that that this is going to bring you to the pleasure of Hashem. Now, I'll give you an example. It's a little bit personal, but hopefully nobody will get offended from what I have to say now. But on Shabbat, we enjoy the reading of the Torah. Now, the funniest thing is that during the week, when everybody prays and reads, they go in the speed of an F-16. They're not particular how they're saying the words, not particular about how they're pronouncing their pronunciations. When it comes to Shabbat, when the reading of the Torah, if the Baal Koreh says by mistakes ve instead of vo, ve! Whoa, okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm human. And if Chas V'Shalei say oh instead of e, oh! You know, you have a whole congregation screaming at you. Again, it's, people, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm excited. So, but when it comes to the week, when they pray, they don't even pronounce one word right. Okay, so nevertheless, comes the Kriyat HaTorah on Shabbat, and there's a very special individual in our congregation that every two words has something to say. Ve, vu, va, fi, vo, ve. 90% of the time is not even right. But nevertheless, it's disturbing me when I read the Torah. It's disturbing everybody. And my son is the one that really helps me. He stands next to me when I read from the Torah, and he quietly tells me the words that I know I will maybe move mistake. If I say a mistake, he whispers to me. He helps me with the trot. So my son gets the most upset. Why is he disturbing? So the other day, my son, the last Shabbat, my son told me, you know, this individual it's annoying me already, him, because it's disturbing. I'm here to help you. And I told him he's a very good person. It's good that he's here, because if he wouldn't be here every 2 minutes saying ve va vo va, we will not be on alert. We will just read it like however we want to. But he's coming to make sure that we are now preparing not twice before the Shabbat. Now I'm preparing 10 times before the Shabbat, so there won't be a mistake. So I told him, look at how the world works. You are now pointing a finger at this individual that you're saying he's annoying me. He's correcting me. He's disturbing me. I said, no, he's helping. He's assisting. Now, once, I don't always have time. You know what it is to prepare a whole parasha, to read it in the off by heart? Sometimes you have to prepare 20 times before you get everything right. So I said to my son, he's helping us. He's not annoying. He's not disturbing. Yes, it might not be done in the nicest way. But nevertheless, he causes me to become better. He causes me now to prepare better, to memorize more, to be more particular on the words. And I told my son, you see, it makes us better. And this is not the Chas V'Shalom comparing anybody to the Yetzer Hara. But I say to my son, this is the Yetzer Hara. He's making you better. He's pushing you. Only so you can see your faults, so you can see where you're weak, to see where you fail, so you can say, I don't want the Yetzer Hara to win anymore. I'll get better. And you know, one rises above the other. That's the idea here. Nevertheless, back to what we were talking about. Once I'm able to take the pleasure away from the Yetzer Hara, and I take the whole pleasure and put it into my Avodat Hashem, instead of pleasuring the cake or the coffee or the car or the money, I take, where can I derive pleasure from my Avodat Hashem? Bazeh yaleh anitzot v'tishaber haklipa. That's how you elevate the spark, and that's when you break the klipa. That's how, I mean, it comes together. In order to elevate the spark, you have to break the klipa. The klipa is the husk, is the shell that is holding the spark. So if I, it's like those, how do you call those candy that's like an egg? The chocolate egg, and inside there's a, surprise. I forgot how it's called. But nevertheless, my kids, when we go and buy them something, they choose that. I tell them, do you want the egg or do you want the candy inside? What's your motive here? So of course they want the surprise inside. But nevertheless, this is the same thing. The husk is holding inside the godly spark. My desire, really, my teava, is for the spark. Just that I fail in between and I go to the klipa, to the husk. Instead of understanding, wait a minute, what pulls me is the desire for what's inside. I get distracted by the cover. Now he continues and he says, "Oh, la'alot ha'davar el ha'ayin, she'istakel ha'davar ba'ayin." Where do we elevate the spark? To a place called Ayin. Ayin can be translated as does nothing. But Ayin is a very high level, high spiritual world. It says, "Makom machtzav kol ha'neshamot." This place of Ayin, it's where all the souls come from. U'baze yaleh ha'nitzotz. And that's where you have to elevate the spark to. Vezeu ma ha'arim. And when he says, "Uma ha'arim," tell me how these cities. Ma, the word ma can be translated as what. But ma is also one of Hashem's names. Hashem has four names. And the first one is called Shema, because of its numerical value of 45. And it says, ma hu ha'ayin. The name ma is where this spiritual world called Ayin. Kamamar chachamenu zal, as our sages say, lo ke Avraham she'amar, ela ke Moshe she'amar ve'nachnu ma. Avraham Avinu was very, very humble. There are a few individuals in our history that really teach us how to get close to Hashem. The first one was Avraham Avinu. He says, you know how I got to my greatness? Ke ani afar va'efer, because I'm a nothing. I'm sand and dust. And David the Melech said on himself, "Ani tolat velo ish. I'm a worm and I'm not a human." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Venachnu ma. I don't even have any existence. I'm a nothing. I'm an ayin. I'm a ma." That's how they all reach to their greatness, by being humble. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Venachnu ma." Again, you have the name ma, the ayin. Uve'elu gimel b'chinot yale nitzotz u'machni ara. And with these three levels that we just mentioned, that's how you're able to subdue the evil and to elevate the spark. The chesed, we said, the directing, the where is the pleasure coming from, and the nothingness, the being humble, being a ma, being a nothing, an ayin. When you know how to apply these three, that's the way how you break the klipa. I mean, we're trying to find methods all the time. We just spoke the class before about how do we deal with different avot that we have, with different desires. And we're all looking, searching for a solution. I'm not looking to sink into the dirt. I'm looking for a solution. So he gives you here three perfect solutions. You have to go from the Negev, apply Chesed. You have to go up on the mountain. How are you directing your where the pleasure is coming from? And the third and most important is being humble. And you're humble and you apply all that. That's how you break the klipa. And that's how you elevate the spark. And that's how you reach to the real pleasure, the ultimate pleasure, that it's a pleasure for eternity. That needless to say, that the pleasure for eternity is waiting for you. But in the meantime, in this world, you receive the real pleasure. It's not coming from money or from fame and power and success. It's coming from within inside. So it doesn't matter what's happening to you in your life. You're happy, you're relaxed, you don't get upset, you don't get angry, you don't get depressed and sad. You fulfill. You're happy with what you have. That's why our sages says, "Ezo ashir asameach bechelko." Who's the rich person? Who's happy with what he have? Doesn't matter if you have a big meal or if you have a little pita, whatever it is. But ultimately, that's what we want to. We want to reach to a level of true happiness. That I'm happy. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm relaxed. I fall asleep easy because I'm not worried and I don't have anxieties and fear and so forth. Who needs us all this headache? So the point is to pursue the real happiness, the ta'anug ha'elyon, the real pleasure. And that, of course, can only be achieved when I know how to break the klipa, elevate the spark to its source, and needless to say, fulfill my neshama with the ultimate pleasure, which is the closeness to Hashem.